Earth, sky.
Supercomputers are making possible for us to understand the intricate machinery of a biological cell. And supercomputers allow us to develop new technologies to improve human health, one of which is personalized medicine.
You're listening to Alexei Aksamentiev of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Aksamentiev works with some of the fastest computers on Earth, supercomputers such as the AMD Opteron-powered Ranger system at the Texas Advanced Computing Center in Austin. He's developing an inexpensive way to sequence a person's DNA using supercomputers, with the goal of someday making medicine personalized for a patient's biology. Dr. Aksamentiev spoke more with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Now, give us your take on personalized medicine and how your work with supercomputers is making a difference in advancing the science.
Well, the goal of personalized medicine is to make medical procedures more effective by tailoring them to genetic and biochemical makeup of individuals. As you know, we all humans are slightly different, partly because of the program that is written in our DNA. So figuring out what is written in my, yours, and other people's DNA is the first step towards making personalized medicine a reality. So here at University of Illinois, we're using supercomputers to discover new ways to sequence DNA to make this procedure faster and less expensive so it can be used as a routine medical procedure.
For the benefit of people listening, can you just explain for us a little bit about what sequencing is and why that's important in understanding DNA?
Sure. So DNA is a very, very long molecule. You can think of it as a very long word made of just four letters, A, C, G, and T. And determining exact sequence of these letters in this very long word is sequencing. And in a more general picture, why some people get sick and some people don't, and why some drugs work for some people and some drugs don't. Part of the answer lies in the sequence of the letters in our genome, and figuring out a way to determine the sequence cheaply is essential, because right now it's a very costly procedure.
Would you give us some numbers here?
Yeah, actually, this is a very interesting story because 10 years back, the cost of personal genome sequencing were astronomical. It was $1 billion. 5 years back, it was $10 million. Current sequencing costs are about $50,000.
Tell us about your project to create machines for personal genome sequencing that will be more accessible to hospitals. How does this all work?
Well, so the basic idea is that we take a DNA molecule and thread it through a very tiny pore in a very thin membrane. And as molecule passes through this pore, we record electric signals that result from DNA interactions with the nanopore, and thereby we record the DNA sequence just directly of the molecule.
What is a nanopore, and how is that able to read these DNA codes?
Yeah. So first of all, nanopore is a as the name suggests, a nanometer diameter pore in a very thin membrane. So just to give you an idea how thin the membrane is, it's about 1,000 times thinner than the foil you use to wrap groceries, and the pore itself is about 10,000 times smaller in diameter than a human hair. This size is comparable to the size of the DNA. So now, when DNA is confined to this pore, you really localize a very tiny fraction of the DNA, just a few letters.
In a sense, these nanopores, maybe people listening may be familiar with like pores in our skin. These are really tiny holes that you're talking about, incredibly tiny. And your computers are creating these simulations, realistic simulations of DNA actually going through these tiny holes.
That's correct. We can simulate in atomic details of the process of DNA transport through this nanometer pores. And we can directly compare the results of the simulation with experiment, which gives us confidence that our computational model is correct. What we can do in a simulation that is difficult to do an experiment is to alter design of the nanopore and see whether this will increase sensitivity of our measurement.
How does this technology change medicine, and what advantages does it have in improving people's health and well-being?
Well, first of all, it's really an ultimate diagnostic tool to determine all kind of genetic disorders. Secondly, it will be crucial to developing cures for cancer because, as you know, cancer is a disease of DNA, and the most direct way to find out what kind of cancer it is and possibly drugs that would affect it is to sequence the genome.
Now, would you give us an example of how personalized medicine can be employed to help a patient from preventative care to diagnosis, as you were talking about earlier, to treatment?
Well, the big idea is that when a patient comes to a hospital, he or she would give blood, and in real time, maybe in less than an hour, a physician would know, would get the access to the patient's sequence. Then a patient, then the physician would see which diseases could be associated with the genetic makeup of the individual and prescribe drugs that would be most effective.
And at what stage is the research right now?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I must say that it's still in the basic research. Researchers have been able to sequence so far only very short fragments of DNA, but it's conceivable that within a two-year frame we might see experimental demonstration of DNA sequencing using nanopores. And after that, it would probably be another 2 years before a first commercial device is available on market, and after that, it could make way into a hospital near you, but that really would depend on the market forces, patent law, and other factors that are beyond science.
You're saying that in just a few short years, possibly, that this technique might actually produce real diagnostic tools that could be used in hospitals?
Yes, I think within the 10-year frame, that's a real possibility.
Supercomputers play a big role in your research in developing this new way of gene sequencing. What are your thoughts on the role that supercomputers are making to science right now?
Yeah, I think supercomputers and the way they have been developing over the past 10 years are offering a completely new perspective at life. So in my field in biological physics, the biggest question is really, what is life? How is it that the collection of proteins, water, salt, and lipid that make up our cell make it alive? And there are many, there are several ways people try to address this question. Some experimentally would like to combine and make a synthetic cell by putting together different compounds. Others would take a living cell and trim down its genome to make a minimal cell. I think the answer would also come from our ability to simulate cell in a computer. Then we can really pinpoint what is life and what is not.
And how close do you think scientists are to being able to do that, to be able to create this cell on a computer?
We're still far from that. My estimate, the earliest would be in 10 years, probably 20 years from now. But computers' development really exceeded my expectations and everybody's expectation. It might come sooner, but I would say 10 years at least.
What's the most important thing you want people today to know about supercomputers and personalized medicine?
Well, supercomputers are making possible for us to understand intricate machinery of a biological cell. And supercomputers allows us to develop new technologies to improve human health, one of which is personalized medicine.
You've been listening to computational physicist Alexei Oksimentiev of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit our website at earthsky.org. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.